Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?
That was every Sunday, 8 a.m. for Catholic Mass. My parents eventually got tired of all the rules and turned Lutheran. They found that dull and went back to Catholic.
We shouldn't basically create a child library where parents check out their kids like books, you know, for a couple of hours at night or on the weekends. Families should mean something.
We might also then be able to think a little bit more reasonably about why it is that our Lord did choose to have men in the ministry as his representatives, because it is a kind of a spiritual warfare for which we are particularly suited.
Remember that the same Lord who spared Nineveh destroyed Sodom. That is to say that his patience is not without an end.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues Etc.
We find Jesus in a, well, it's not the typical kind of Sunday school picture of Jesus. Jesus enters the house of God, the temple, and he takes a cord and makes a whip out of it. He drives out the money lenders and those who are selling the doves and the various other livestock there. He makes a lot of claims about himself and even predicts his own death and resurrection. It's something that's recorded in the Gospels, both the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in John's Gospel, though John's Gospel puts the cleansing of the temple, Jesus, some people would say he kind of threw a fit, but certainly that's not what we're witnessing. But John puts that at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. How do we explain that particular thing, and how do we understand what Jesus is doing when even his disciples are impressed with the zeal or perhaps the anger that he is displaying? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Dr. Keith Whitfield, Associate Professor of Theology at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, will be our guest. We're going to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention's sexual abuse scandal that was brought to light most recently in a Houston Chronicles expose. Then Pastor Jeff Hemmer joins us. We'll talk about the incarnation and the season of Lent. He's authored a devotional book titled Behold the Man, Daily Devotions for Lent and Easter. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple in John's Gospel, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's just clear up one of the kind of confusing things about this account. The three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record this at the end of Jesus' ministry. In fact, the very last week of his ministry after he's entered Jerusalem. But John records it at the very beginning of his ministry. Which one was it, beginning or end?
Yes. In other words, it was both. The first cleansing of the temple is the one we are going to be looking at in John chapter 2, and it occurred just after Jesus' first miracle, that is the turning of water into wine at the wedding in Cana. John makes it clear that it was after that where he went to Capernaum, where he stayed for a few days. Then in the next verse, John tells us that the Passover of the Jews was at hand. These verses trace Jesus' movements over a short period of time from Cana in Galilee to Capernaum and eventually to Jerusalem for the Passover. And this is the first of the two times. The Synoptic Gospels do not record this cleansing. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That cleansing occurs during Passion Week after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it's described in those three Gospels. Now, there are differences in the two events, aside from there being nearly 3 years apart. In the first cleansing, temple officials confront Jesus immediately, John 2:18. Whereas in the second cleansing, the chief priests and scribes confront him the following day, Matthew 21. In the first event, and this is the picture we often think about, Jesus made a whip of cords with which to drive out the sellers, but there is no mention of a whip in the second cleansing. So, there are two recorded occasions when Jesus cleansed the temple, the first time at the beginning of his public ministry, and the second time just after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, shortly before he was crucified. We're taking a look at the first time that is recorded in John chapter 2.
So we've encountered Jesus. He is upset. We could fairly say he is angry, and people notice this. This is not a typical picture. You necessarily want the Sunday school children to see Jesus angry. What has disturbed Jesus that he does this?
It is that they are selling the animals needed for sacrifice in a portion of the temple that was not meant for that. It would be like, a lot of times, I know when I had a congregation for a long time, the ladies' aid would often sell clothing to the poor, but we would do that on a Saturday outside of the sanctuary. This was like, as soon as you walk into the narthex area, here they're selling clothing and all kinds of items. They're trading money so you can use the proper money. And they had set up their booths in the court of the Gentiles, and therefore they were infringing on the only space the Gentiles were able to participate in the temple worship of God. Remember, Gentiles could not enter the inner courts of the temple because they had not submitted themselves to the full law of the Jews, such as undergoing circumcision and embracing dietary restrictions. So, this outer court was their place of worship. But having the traders set up in this court, this turned God's house into a marketplace, displacing and distracting the Gentiles from proper worship. And it's kind of interesting in an Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday, Deuteronomy 26, one of the big points that Moses makes is that we are to worship God where God tells us to worship him. And that's, of course, in the sanctuary, and many of them are dedicated to that. So imagine that while we're having a worship service, people are going up and down the pews trying to sell items to the people. They don't go into the altar area, but they stay in the back of the church or near the back of the pews talking to those people. We would be upset also. This was taking what God had said would be a place of worship, even for the Gentiles, and turning it into a marketplace where Jesus, therefore, is quoting the Old Testament, "You have made God's temple into a den of robbers."
So what is that reference in the Old Testament? What does it tell us?
Well, it tells us that the purpose of the temple was not to buy your way into heaven. A lot of people, especially in Judaism, the new religion that had come about after the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians, they got the notion, if you'll recall that one parable, "Thank God I'm not like that tax collector, because I tithe, I fast." And what was he doing? He was going through the ceremonial laws. He probably also would say, you know, "I give more money than most people, and I follow the other ceremonial laws." And thereby, they were making a den of robbers, trying to rob their way into the kingdom of God, and thinking thereby that God really appreciated them because of their obedience, not to the moral law, They didn't even think they were breaking the moral law. And that's why they were so mad at Jesus when he did the Sermon on the Mount and said that murder occurs not only when you do the act, but also when you have a bad thought or say a bad word against someone inappropriately. And so this was a really turning upside down of Judaism's thinking that through works, one got right with God, and thereby they were selling animals, etc., by means of the people getting into the right graces of God because of the items they were buying, the sacrifices they were making, and none of that would save anybody because the sacrifices were really meant to point forward to the Lamb of God that was come to take away the sins of the world, not their purchase of sacrifices, etc.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2 on this Tuesday, March the 5th. When we come back, another passage, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Where does it come from, and what does it mean when the disciples remember this about Jesus?
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The Classical Liberal Studies major at Concordia University Chicago challenges you, through rigorous coursework, to connect history and innovation, applying classical concepts to a contemporary setting. Adding a minor in classical pedagogy will equip you to teach in classical schools and homeschools, drawing on Concordia Chicago's rich Lutheran heritage in the liberal arts. Learn more and apply now at cuchicago.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church of Chehalis, Washington. Biblical, historic Christianity, whose source is Scripture, whose heart is the gospel. If you're in Southwest Washington, join us for the divine service. You will receive Jesus, crucified and risen again for the forgiveness of your sins. We promise. For more information, call us at 360-748-4108.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2. The disciples recall a little snippet of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." What is that, and what does it mean when they recall that with reference to Jesus?
Yes, the actual Greek there is zelos, Z-E-L-O-S. And so that's where we get the word zeal. And the passage that they're really thinking about is from the Exodus passage, where God is talking about that one needs to be zealous for his house. It's found in Exodus 20, verse 5. Let me read that. "You shall not bow down to them or serve other gods, For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. It's that word jealous that is from the Hebrew for zealous or passionate. God prohibits worshiping other gods because he does not admit third parties. This is not a sinful jealousy, but a righteous desire for his people to be faithful. And so we got to be very careful that when we talk about God being jealous, we're not talking about that it's a hatred towards anyone. It's actually his jealous love. His anger does not arise from hatred. It springs toward love for God. And when Jesus sees that these folks are not doing proper worship, he gets angry at them. And that's where it says in verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And that's from Psalm 69, verse 9. And so therefore, whether that came about through inspiration of the Holy Spirit or that Jesus himself said that and they became greater knowledgeable about it, it's a very important verse from Psalm 69. It's done by David, and the verse reads this way, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. While I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. So what Jesus is doing here is he has zeal for the house of his father. It's kind of like if your dad was, let's say he owned a restaurant, maybe a Hardee's or a McDonald's or something, and people came in who were inebriated and they just started kind of misusing the furniture and speaking back to the people behind the counter. You would be angry also because of the love you have for your father, whose restaurant it is. And this is what Jesus remembered in saying, zeal for your house will consume me. And it did consume Jesus. A lot of times I'll ask the question, was there ever a time that Jesus sinned? And about the only time people bring up is this item of Jesus taking a whip and beating people. But that was not sin. It was instead great love for his father. And it was actually an act of love. Who knows when these people felt the sting of his whip? Who knows how many understood the law better than they had before? And remember, the purpose of the law, we learned this through John the Baptizer, is to prepare someone for the hearing of the gospel. And remember, there were even folks from the Supreme Court of Judaism, like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that came to faith. Maybe they saw Jesus doing this. They heard his words from Psalm, what God had said at the end of the Ten Commandments. And therefore the law struck them. And when they heard the message of Jesus, remember that Nicodemus one, you must be born again, faith was engendered. They came to be believers, and they took their life in their own hands when they went to Pilate to ask him if they could take the body of Jesus down and bury him. So what we want to get across to the children is normally our anger is sinful, but if it's an anger out of love, then it's not sinful. A big problem that we're having in a lot of schools is you've got people who are picking on other people, and there's a lot of advertisements about how to befriend those who are being picked on. Well, this would be a good example where proper anger might mean that you would step in between somebody who's picking on someone and tell them not to do that anymore in order to protect the one who's being picked on. Well, God the Father was being picked on, and you understand the love Jesus had for his Father, and that's why he wanted to make it very clear that what they were doing in a place of worship designed for Gentiles was most inappropriate.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. We will post a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, Dr. Keith Whitfield joins us from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's written recently for First Things, a piece titled Sex Abuse Among Southern Baptists. That'll be the topic of our discussion with him. Then Pastor Jeff Hemmer joins us to talk about the Incarnation and the season of Lent. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. It's time to register to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voters with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A nomination form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
The difference between being in the world and being of the world finally comes down to being in Christ. However they live, whatever they do, wherever they go, Christians are in Christ. These words from the Reverend Dr. Joel Bierman perfectly encapsulate the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. Life together, set apart. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. First Bethlehem Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. St. Peter's Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin. And Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.